KKNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. The White House confirms President Biden has been briefed on the arrest of 21-year-old Jack Teixeira. The 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman has been taken into custody in relation to leaked classified military documents on a gaming social site.
What authorities have alleged is that Jack Teixeira, going under a different username, an anonymous username, posted photos to that Discord server that was full of young men who were talking about video games, talking about a lot of different things. And then from that server is where this information gets posted broader, is the theory, to the larger internet, Twitter, and other social media places.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Attorney General Garland says the Justice Department will take the fight over abortion medication to the Supreme Court. Police in Virginia say the mother of a six-year-old who shot his teacher has been formally arrested on charges of child neglect and failing to secure her handgun. This is ABC News. The Biden administration has announced 9 bridge projects that'll be overhauled in Michigan, D.C., California, New York, Wisconsin, South Carolina, Texas, Oregon, and Oklahoma. They'll share $300 million worth of infrastructure funds. Tulsa intensifying efforts to find descendants of the 1921 race massacre victims.
Using genetic analysis, forensics experts have come up with possible identities of 6 sets of human remains found in a local cemetery in Tulsa.
This is, we believe, the first time this has ever been done,
says Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum. The bodies may have been those of victims of the 1921 race massacre that's thought to have killed hundreds.
This is the part of the search that our experts cannot do on their own. They need your help.
Among the possible surnames determined by DNA, Holden, Larimore, Huntley, and Bohannon, the City of Tulsa website has a full listing. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
It's the end of an era in Chicago where Jonathan Toews is playing his last game with the Blackhawks. The team captain spent 15 seasons with the Hawks. Lionel Moise, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmayer. Here's what you need to know. The Alliance for Education in Waukesha want Waukesha School Superintendent James Siebert to be investigated for discrimination against LGBTQ plus students and staff. The group, made up primarily of Waukesha parents, upset after first graders at Higher Elementary were banned from performing the Miley Cyrus-Dolly Parton duet Rainbow Land. Siebert said in March the decision to pull the song was based on, quote, whether it was appropriate for the age and maturity level of the students and on the social or personal impacts on them. The teacher involved, Melissa Temple, has been placed on administrative leave. Members of the Green Bay Packers stopped in Barron County Wednesday to pay their respects to the officers who died last weekend in the line of duty. Chetek Police Officer Emily Breidenbach and Cameron Police Officer Hunter Shield were killed during a traffic stop. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
you know, over a several documents that, you know, look, I'm not justifying. When we had a guy who had over 300 sensitive, highly top secret documents, you know, just strewn around his home and reportedly while president, just, you know, on the table for anyone to see at his parties. This is not news. This has happened. And I'm curious how it is that guy isn't in silver bracelets, and how it is that, you know, that guy was able to schedule his own arraignment for some things, and he was able to, well, get special treatment. Whereas this kid, well, we put him in bracelets and we perp walk him out. I'm still getting over the all of the people in the jail were crying when they had to fingerprint Donald Trump. And this, again, this is one of those moments where you look at where our news media goes. And as I've said, I don't know all the facts yet. None of us do. But I find it interesting at how quickly this moved, because we still don't know. Again, there's a lot of leakers out there. We still don't know who leaked Sam Alito's draft decision on Roe. We still don't know who did that. I don't even know that there's an investigation even ongoing at this point. I think they've just gone, well, we'll never know. It's like how many licks gets to the center of a Tootsie Pop? One will never know. How many, you know, how many leakers are in the U.S. Supreme Court? One will never know. And this is one of those moments where I keep coming back to, I want strong oversight, but I'm looking at one side of the aisle who are cheerleaders. Nobody on the right wanted to know who leaked the Dobbs decision. Nobody wanted to know that. They were just thrilled to get what they got, which was a total and complete repeal of Roe, which was honestly quite shocking to me. I thought that they would go in a much more incremental fashion. I thought that they would make it, you know, harder and harder and harder and harder until eventually it was basically illegal and basically ungettable. Who knew they were going to take that one big giant bite, which is why it was leaked. But we're not going to find out who leaked that stuff. It's interesting to me that we go after these low-level people. Now, I do want to know what was leaked, and we're never going to find that out. I want to know why a 21-year-old kid, because I've known people who've had to go through security clearance background checks. They are not easy. They talk to kindergarten teachers. They go and they talk to everybody. They turn your life upside down, considering, you know, there are only, you know, so many people who have access to real high-level classified stuff. How did this kid get access to stuff that would make us that much worse off? You know, and understand, everybody knows everybody's spying on everyone else. But this kind of puts this in a weird spot. Now, you know, the jokes started coming, and I started thinking about all the jokes, you know, because Marjorie Three Names had to jump out there and defend this kid, and it kind of made me wonder if maybe this kid, you know, slipped her the super secret information on the Jewish space laser. I don't know. But it seems like our friends on the right are hell-bent on destroying our institutions. And it's interesting watching them go after, while claiming they love law enforcement, they're on the defund the FBI. And look, I'm not a huge, huge fan of some of the things the FBI does. But to me, you know, the people who are waving the flag, there's some interesting stuff there. But I want to hear your thoughts. Does this sound right? Was he just a dumb kid trying to show off to his friends? Was he just a you know, just going, hey, look what I've got, kind of like a former president, because that's truly, honestly, what I believe why he had all of those documents. And as it's been explained to me, that, you know, the chances are, I was right from the beginning when I said it was all about the, hey, look what I have. It was all about the ego. It was all about the, you know, the showmanship. I don't know that he was really going to sell anything overseas. I don't know that. I have some of my friends on the left go, no, he's going to sell the... I don't know. I think it's more just about the ego. And where I've always been right, and whenever I've had to put a bet down on Donald Trump, it always comes back to ego. He is going to make decisions based on him first. So having these things laying around, status. So I'm not surprised at this. This kid, I gotta wonder. You know, do you go into a room with teenagers younger than you and go, "Hey, look at how important I am," and is this what's going to get him in pretty hot water? We will see. Want to hear your thoughts? You can email me rick@therickSmithShow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, here's the thing. Full-on culture war. The right-wing culture attack. Full tilt boogie. You know, the culture warriors are doing what they do in state houses across the country. Missouri right now front and center. Now, what they've done in Missouri, interestingly enough, is they're now banning transgender people entirely. That's the goal here. They're just going to ban them entirely. Because what they've done, this is one of those weird things. What they've done is their attorney general is saying that this regulation that they put forth, how does it go? Requires an adult having experienced a medically documented, long-lasting, persistent, and intense pattern of dysphoria for at least the three most recent consecutive years. So it's got to be 3 years you've got to have, you know, this medically documented. And then before you can seek any treatment at all, also, anything that dealing with anxiety, anything dealing with depression, any of those things, usually, from what I understand, and this is not my topic, I hate talking about this, but this is the fight here. This is the next right-wing attack that's happening. What happens is, you know, people who have this gender dysphoria, from what I'm reading and what I understand, anxiety and depression are front and center. It is, you know, the main part of this. And what this also says is, okay, it's got to be 3 years before you can seek any treatment. But before you get any treatment, adults with depression or anxiety or any other any mental health issue, and we can name that just about anything, they will have to have been treated and the issue has to be resolved. And you can see where this is going. They're going to use the mental health system to say, sorry, you're not mentally fit to do any of these things. So we're just going to continue to ban this and use mental health as the excuse. This is crazy to me. But here's the thing. I don't understand the whole transgender thing. I've said this before. I don't understand it. I'm probably never going to really understand it. And I'm grateful that I don't. As I've said, I've known people who have transitioned, and the response to them is always, I don't know what you're going through. I'm glad I don't know, but I hope this is what makes you happy. Because I grew up believing in life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And if this is what's going to make you happy, God bless you. I hope this is it. And if you want me to, you know, call you a different name, I'm happy to do that. It doesn't affect me at all. It doesn't cost me anything. It doesn't harm me in any way. It means literally nothing to me personally, other than I see a friend and I want them to be able to live their best life. But when I see these kind of legislative assaults, you go, okay, well, it's them today. It's not me. I don't care about them. You know, that old Pastor Niemöller quote, you know, first they came for you name it, and there was nobody who spoke up. Then they came for the next one and the next one and the next one until eventually they got down to me for whatever reason. And there's nobody left. Conservatives, true conservatives, used to be against this kind of stuff, against the idea of the state mandating what individuals do within the confines of their four walls, within their minds and their bodies. We now have people who are legislating what people can do with their own bodies. And that is frightening. Because, again, they think they're right. Now, these are the same people. These are the same people, our friends in Missouri. These are the same people who are perfectly okay with 12-year-olds getting married. Perfectly fine. Let the 12-year-olds marry a 30-year-old. They're okay with that because one guy knows a 12-year-old who's been married and they're still married. That to me is just nuts. Just nuts. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are we doing?
Totally insane as usual. But, you know, we're all, and I'm sure what all they're doing is certainly not going to help out the way these transgender people, you know, are feeling. They're going to cause them more anxiety and panic. I mean, it's at the point they're causing the rest of us anxiety and panic.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And the thing that we know, and look, this was not, again, not my issue, but I have done some research on it. What I know is in the interim period that this guy is trying to block people from getting any gender affirming care whatsoever. And when I'm not even talking about the surgeries, I'm just talking about, you know, just changing their appearance and all that stuff. I know that if you block this, the studies have shown that suicide rate amongst these communities is extraordinarily high. So in the interim, while people are waiting out this period, people will die. And I find that unacceptable.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just shake my head and say, they really are so disconnected from everything, and I'm talking the right wing here, that, you know, they're always screaming about, you know, when the COVID was going on, HIPAA.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't have a problem with using it when they want to. They claim they're patriotic but don't see a problem with someone leaking messages. They claim they believe for state rights, and it just boils down to they want to control everything and make, okay, this is the acceptable definition of this, and this is the acceptable definition. And it's just insane, and it's spilling over more and more and more. And I think the rest of us are just so fed up. We're all going to need therapy. I wonder if they offer rates for, you know, states at this point. But have a good evening, Rick.
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. No, I mean, the sad reality is I'm looking at what the Republicans are doing, and it's been the wet dream list for a very long time. Understand, none of these issues are in my interest area. I'll be honest with you. Quite frankly, not my concern. But when you see somebody who's being abused, when you see someone who's being targeted, you stand up for them. That's what we do in this country. You know, I've gotten a bunch of emails from people going, why is this such a big deal? That I know what, you know, why this is a big deal to me? Because these are working people. These are working people who are getting screwed over in the workplace, not being able to rent apartments, not being able to lead a simple life. That's why this is important. It should be important to all of us. I don't have to agree with what they do. I don't have to like it. But I will fight to defend it. And I look again, you know, Tennessee, just like Missouri, losing their ever-loving flipping minds. Now there's a bill. The Tennessee House just passed a bill. Now, remember, when Roe went down, I was saying, get ready. All of those 60s, 70s bills, that, you know, those laws that the Supreme Court upheld, going to go, you know, like Obergefell a couple years ago on same-sex marriage, Griswold on contraception. There was going to be a bunch of the Loving for interracial marriage. There was going to be a ton of these things that were going to go by the wayside. And conservatives just couldn't wait. You know, they were all tingly in the panties, just couldn't wait. And here they're now doing it in state houses across the country. Right now there's a bill that just passed the Tennessee House that would allow, remember the Kentucky situation where that woman in Kentucky refused to give two men a marriage license? There was a big to-do, and it went through all court systems, and Kim something or other was her name. But she was like a right-wing darling for about 6 minutes. This is now going to legalize that. The bill would allow county clerks to deny marriage licenses to same-sex couples, to interfaith couples, and to interracial couples. So as I said, they're going to go after all of that stuff of the past because we need to recreate the 1950s, going to make America great again. And this is part of that, going to make America great again. But we're not going to bring back unions and strengthen people's ability to make decent wages, hours, conditions. No, we still need poverty wage jobs. But hey, at least we'll beat up on those people. We'll be able to go after them. And this is my frustration. What I know from history, and the reason that these issues are important to me, again, not my core issues, not my fundamental fight issues, but what I know is the more that they're able to tear us apart, the more they're able to divide us, slice us, dice us, pit us against each other, the more we lose. And you look at what's going on right now, we are losing. When 39% of the people miss meals to pay their rent, when over almost 70% of people are living paycheck to paycheck, there's something economically seriously wrong. And what do they throw out? The outrage candy. You know, there's somebody dressed up in a dress and says that she's a woman. And I'm against that. I don't care. And I've said this before. As long as what someone does doesn't infringe on my rights and I don't have to participate in what they do, I'm okay with it. They should have the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That used to be a conservative position. What happened to our conservative friends who said that we want government out of our lives? We're not going to use government as a moral bludgeon. Where are my conservative friends? Oh, I so do want to know. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com, because it's amazing to me how far and how fast we've fallen. Lots to get to. Gonna take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Help yourself. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1873. That was the day the single most deadly incident of the Reconstruction era occurred, known as the Colfax Massacre. As many as 150 black Republicans in Colfax, Louisiana, were slaughtered by white supremacists determined to destroy advances made by the formerly enslaved. Results of the 1872 gubernatorial election in Louisiana had been hotly contested. President Ulysses S. Grant ordered federal troops in to support the Republican winner, William Pitt Kellogg. A number of black radical Republicans had also won or retained local and state political positions. William Ward, a black Civil War veteran and militia leader, had won a seat in the state legislature. By the beginning of April, he and others were being threatened with attacks on the Grant Parish Courthouse in Colfax and lynchings by defeated white Southern Democrats. Desperate for backup, Ward and others left for New Orleans to appeal for federal reinforcement. On the Holy Easter Sunday, ex-Confederates, Klansmen, and Democrats rode into Colfax armed with guns, rifles, knives, and a cannon. 150 black Republicans were ready to defend their courthouse.
Fighting raged on for hours, but eventually black Republicans were forced to retreat and then were massacred. 97 whites were indicted on federal conspiracy charges under the 1870 Enforcement Act, designed to enforce civil rights and root out Klan terror. The case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and resulted in the ruling United States versus Cruikshank, which essentially gutted the Enforcement Act. Of the 97 indicted, 9 were tried, and 3 were initially found guilty. The Cruikshank ruling eventually overturned their convictions and effectively marked the legal end of Reconstruction. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
My city's daily newspaper has gotten so emaciated it should be in hospice care. Its front section is down to 6 pages, half of which are cheap ads, and nearly all of its articles are out-of-date, cut-and-paste pieces bought from out-of-state content providers. This embarrassment, put out by the Gannett chain of over 1,100 cadaverous papers, pretends to be the news source for Austin, a vibrant city of 1 million people and the capital of the second-largest state in America. Gannett, owned by a multi-billion dollar Japanese hedge fund, profits by buying up local papers, firing most of the news staff, raising prices, selling off the paper's assets, then killing the paper. If your town's publication is now a Gannett property, look to Salinas, California for its future. The 152-year-old Salinas, Californian was this important region's main news artery until its new hedge fund owners started hacking. The paper was down to 1 reporter last December, but that lone journalist quit. And the Californian is now a newspaper without reporters, meaning no coverage of elections, city hall, sports, police, workplace issues, etc. The Salinas paper is technically alive, overseen until recently by another Gannett paper located 300 miles away. Now, says the chain's comically named Center for Community Journalism, Salinas residents can get their news by reading Gannett's national paper, USA Today. This is Jim Hightower saying, actually, Gannett's bosses are making major investments in themselves. CEO Mike Reed's salary this year is $8 million, and the global chain's owners will spend $100 million for a stock buyback scheme that will artificially jack up their own wealth. This is a blockbuster story of real news affecting real people and democracy itself. So how many Gannett newspapers do you guess are covering it?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like jury selection began today behind closed doors with the F Channel. I get that you don't want... I guess it's a sign of what kind of a screwed up society we were. Because I remember the OJ trial. OJ was front and center. We saw everything. I remember when Court TV had all that stuff on and it was there front and center. And now we don't get to see the voir dire. We don't get to see the jury selection. Because, look, I would assume they're afraid for the jurors' safety because there are crazy people out here. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, you know, maybe we've got some interesting stuff on this trial. And, oh, is it going to be fun to watch? I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story. RawStory.com, the website, if you want to check out her work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, happy Thursday.
So, is this kind of a big day, I guess. You know, I'm looking at the F channel. This could be something must see TV.
It's gonna be fun, and you would think that. I mean, with all the people who would want to watch it, that Fox News would be running that on primetime, but I guess not.
Yeah, you don't kind of want your viewers to know that your main stars were calling them idiots and dupes and were trashing the president that they were outwardly promoting, and you kind of don't want that. I at least I don't think you do.
Probably would not be good for marketing purposes. It would be good for other networks, I think.
Now, I'm like, how is this not a Lonesome Rhodes moment? How is this not?
Right?
How is this not the moment where everybody turns them off?
And I've seen MSNBC has done a couple of different segments about it, and it seems like there are a few of their evening hosts that will do some like just some needling, you know, at Fox News, which I totally appreciate. It makes my evening.
You had the interview with Trump. You had the interview with Tucker Carlson and Trump, and you go, "How
in hilarious?
Yeah, how in good conscience does Trump does Carlson sit there knowing that he said all these things, and how does Trump sit there knowing that? Because you know Trump knows everything that Carlson said about him. You know, how do they do this political theater thing? Like they really care about each other?
Well, apparently Trump was very hurt by what Carlson said. There was a report that I missed, I guess, whenever it came out. But then when I started looking up, you know, things that Trump said to Carlson or Carlson said to Trump about those text messages and emails, he kind of walked himself, Tucker sort of walked himself back from Trump and said, you know, well, I mean, personally, I really like you. I think you're great. You're funny. You know, you're fun to hang around, yada, yada, yada. And so it's just weird sort of that's the way that he walked himself out of it and then was able to give Trump an interview. And
well, isn't that how you orange nose? I mean, you have, isn't that part of this?
No, I just feel like that was, I have higher expectations, maybe. Maybe it's just like, if you're going to talk smack about me, then I need you to do a heck of a lot more than be like, well, I like you personally. I'm going to need like some trinkets, some flowers and chocolate and,
yeah,
you know,
at least wine and dine a little bit.
Cash is good.
Well, you know, maybe not a check this time, maybe actual cash in a bag.
Yeah, there you go.
Because maybe you might not, maybe try not to write it off on your taxes. Maybe this time you... You know, I'm just spitballing here. But here's the thing. I mean, this Fox trial, this is big stuff because, look, a lot of people are saying Fox is on thin ice.
Yeah. This is something that I think is going to be difficult for Fox. I've heard a couple of people say that Fox isn't taking it as seriously as a normal corporation would because they know that they're going to lose and that they think that they can win on an appeal. That to me seems really stupid. I mean, if you're not going through and doing all of the objections and putting forth an actual case, I think on appeal, my question would be, well, why didn't you bring that up at trial?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those things. And so I'm curious if they're just sort of banking on this idea of if they lose this in the Delaware court, if they think that the appeals court is going to be nice to them. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I'm not sure how many judges there are, Trump judges versus non-Trump judges. I'd have to look at that.
No, that's interesting. But for me, you know, these voting machine companies suing them is one thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, just the other day, a big shareholder, went and began to sue them. And I'm waiting for the rest of the shareholders to go, you know what, when this all goes down, and that you do lose and the stock price does plummet, you know, that's my money because they got to be holding on now for dear life. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. I was confused why more people weren't doing that. More shareholders weren't coming forward and being like, excuse me, you pretty much screwed all of us. Tucker Carlson apparently is very concerned about the stock price. If you
that's
look
what
at
I've read.
Any of the, any of the depositions and emails and text messages. I don't know why that is. I'm curious how much stock he holds in Fox. But yeah, so I would think that more people would be coming forward, but I sort of went down the rabbit hole of looking at Rupert Murdoch's net worth. And so you're looking at 1.6 million for Dominion, 2.68 million for Smartmatic.
Billion.
Yes. And then, so I'm curious, like, whatever the dude at the stockholder is going to ask for, they've already paid, I think, like $200,000 to some worker at Dominion that they disparaged, some contractor or something. And, you know, like, you're looking at Ruby's little net worth, and that's cutting into things.
Yeah, Jerry Hall's going to be really upset.
Well, I think Jerry Hall's in a very good position.
Did you see the story where he evidently sent her a text message, basically said, we're through, my lawyers will get in touch with you?
He broke up with her via text message, which I think had something to do with the fact that he was already having an affair. And the you know, the weird thing is I guess she didn't, she had to move her stuff out of the Bel Air house in like 30 days and move to a house in the UK, and found out that that house had just tons of cameras all around it that were still feeding back to the Fox buildings. And so of all the weird people, she called, she called her rock star ex-boyfriend, and he sent over his security people and got rid of all of her cameras for her. But like, that's just the weirdest thing. And in their divorce decree, just to make things even weirder, Ruby demanded that she could never talk to any of the writers of the HBO show Succession, which made me wonder, like, are you really watching that? Like, are you really bothered so much by that show that this is a problem for you? And apparently now his sons are using the show against each other, where Lachlan, who is the heir apparent, James is the liberal that, you know, is disturbed his father because he's a liberal. So Lachlan makes up stories about, well, you know, James is feeding story ideas to the Succession writers. And you're just like, wow.
Now I gotta watch this now.
Right. And I've never really watched it. I know it's a thing. It's on a night where I'm working, so it's just not, you know, a good thing. But like all of the TV critics have said it's really impressive. You know, there's a big event at the most recent episode, and everybody filmed it with like cell phone cameras.
So this is like a real kind of soap opera thing. It's, you know, you got the lawsuits, but now you got all this intrigue and all the, it's a whole, you know, they're making money off of their demise.
It's so weird. It's just the weirdest thing.
Keep fleecing the flock.
And the sort of infighting is just strange. It's like, you guys have more money than God.
Yeah.
Come on. Be happy. Move on.
Be happy.
You know, go find a beach somewhere.
With that kind of money, I don't know. It's weird to me.
I mean, I don't get it. I would just be like, farewell, I'm going to the beach.
I got to get your thoughts on evidently Trump suing Michael Cohen for $500 million. I can tell you right now, Michael Cohen doesn't have $500 million.
I don't think Donald Trump has $500 million.
He's not going to after every one of these lawsuits and every one of these criminal investigations going on. I don't know how he's going to be able to survive financially. And I don't know how he's going to get any lawyers to work for him, because he's going to stiff half of them.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is I don't know who filed the lawsuit. I didn't look at any of the paperwork with like the names on it. I just read through all of the accusations and the statement of facts. And the filing today, when you look at the court filing and it says, you know, Trump v. Michael Cohen, yada, yada, yada on the court page. And then it says $500 billion is what he's going after. And I'm just like, who made that mistake? Because you'd think the billionaire would know how many zeros are after that, but maybe not. I thought that lawsuit is just not, there's so many problems with that. I'm not a lawyer. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once. I read a lot of books, you know, that's all I got.
That's all there is. I don't know either, but I find it interesting that Trump's going to expose himself even further to discovery. That's the part that just blows my mind, because I know when you file a lawsuit, the other side can start going, well, I want this. I want this. It makes no sense to me. Other than I think he's hoping that Michael Cohen's not going to have the money to get a legal team to actually fight him. And he's going to do what Cohen did for Trump while he was working for Trump. That's where my mind immediately went.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. Michael Cohen's asking for donations because, I mean, realistically, he is in a very difficult place. He obviously can't practice law anymore. The only thing he's got is a podcast and, you know, royalties from his books. And I don't know how well those sold, really. Mm. But, you know, Trump is claiming he made all this money off of him. What's interesting, though, is he's claiming that Michael Cohen breached their privilege for attorney-client privilege, except that Cohen was disbarred. And nothing that he did or wrote came until after he was disbarred. And so I don't know what the rules are for that. Trump is trying to sue him in Florida, which is weird to me. He's trying to use all these Florida laws against him, except that the entire contract that they had was in New York. They were both in New York. The services happened in New York. Trump didn't even move to New York until 2020, 2021. He didn't move to Florida until 2021. So it's, there's just a lot of problems with this. And just that's stuff from somebody who doesn't have a law degree looking at it, being like, I don't know. Head scratcher.
Major head scratcher. I mean, you know, all of this is, I'm looking at what Trump's doing. And again, I'm not on his legal team, but it makes me wonder, like the story that everyone was crying. I mean, does he live in fantasy land? Because look, you know, I know a lot of people who have worked in courthouses. I know people who work in prisons. These are not people who cry. These are not people who cry for any reason. You know, these are hardened people who have seen it all. I'm serious. And when it came out, I'm like, there is no way these people were crying. Are we buying any of this?
So one of the things I heard from a prosecutor that was talking about it is, no, these people do not cry generally because the folks who come through are almost certainly guilty. And so there is this sort of satisfaction knowing, you know, oh, we got one, you know. That is sort of the problem with the police department, is they are not empathetic enough from those of us who have issues with police and overzealous prosecutors who don't care. The other thing, too, is that one of the cops came out and called it BS. I mean, somebody who actually works in there was just like, oh, hells no, that did not happen. And so it made me wonder, you know, because typically what the prosecutor told me is, you know, it's generally something where the defendant will cry. So that would have been Donald Trump or like his family, except right. that his family wasn't there with him.
Yeah.
So the thing is like you could see in that video him coming out of the booking and everything, moving into the hallway and then into the courtroom. The police were in front of him. They were behind him. They didn't even hold the door open for him. They were sort of just like, he'll hold the door open for himself. And nobody was crying.
Yeah, all dry
eyes. He looked very upset.
He did. I got to wonder if the tissues were for him and not, if again, more projecting as we see with those folks. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com, the website. I wanted to get to Ron DeSantis. Did you see that Ron DeSantis is in Ohio today? Hawking his crummy ghost-written book while Fort Lauderdale is literally underwater.
800 flights were canceled today, and some, you know, obviously some of that is from actual Fort Lauderdale. A lot of that are people that had connecting stuff. Their runway, part of their runway, is underwater. I mean, this is bad. This is really bad, and we're talking about an area of Florida that, you know, climate change. You know, that's sort of like the global, the warming is happening and you're getting a whole bunch of water that's coming in. And if you're living below sea level, life's going to get a little saturated.
Yeah. And I didn't know
Miami,
that.
They know very well in Miami.
Yeah. I didn't know Ohio was on its way to Cancun.
Right? Who knew?
That's immediately, that's where my mind went.
Such a Cancun move. But yeah, where are you, Ron? Like, why don't you care about your state?
He's going to get those boots he had on for the last one. He's going to put those boots back on.
Oh, Lord. You know what would be funny is, oh, man, I'd kill if Joe Biden could get down to Fort Lauderdale before Ron DeSantis could. Just be like, it's okay, Ron, I got this one.
Well, no, I mean, this is where, you know, you should be sending. I said this about Ohio when the train derailment happened in East Palestine. The governor, you know, DeWine said, you know, we don't need your help. Stay out. Which was stupid. But, you know, again, the states' rights people should have been, you know, okay, we're on this. If it were me, if I were Biden, if I were Buttigieg, I would have had an army of people lined up at the Pennsylvania-Ohio border just waiting and going, and every day going, we're waiting for the governor to give us the okay. We're here at the, you know, just because of the appearance. Because what happened is by not doing that, you gave the Marjorie Three Names and the Boberts and all of these other clowns the ability to go, see, the federal government doesn't care. And where was Pete Buttigieg? I mean, I go to the extreme of we're going to make sure that people get the help they need. Because, look, I know I'm closer to being one of those people in need than to one of those people living in the ivory tower.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about the Biden administration is they've been really good on this stuff. And the only reason that they weren't in Ohio is because DeWine told them don't come. So it's just, it's really infuriating because then it's like, well, you told me not to come and now you're criticizing me for not coming.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Lastly, I got to get your thoughts on this. The Carlson interview brought something new into the lexicon of American thought. We didn't know that windmills caused cancer. They still don't, but you know, it's out there. Nuclear warming is that a thing? Do we understand what he was talking about?
So the funniest thing about this is he's claiming, you know, global warming is not a thing. What we need to be worried about is nuclear warming, and nobody talks about that. And I was like, well, there's a reason why nobody talks about that, because it's not a thing. Like, this is something that you have made up in your mind. And he had mentioned it, I think, briefly before in 2018 after he met with Putin. And so my theory is he was actually talking about nuclear proliferation.
Right.
And this idea of, you know, no, I'm trying to get people not to be using nuclear weapons. That was what his whole goal of trying to get Kim to sign the treaty with North Korea and the United States, which clearly was a joke and never happened. And so this idea of, I guess, if you blow up the world, it gets really hot. I guess there's a lot of fire. I don't know. I think his theory is it will destroy the planet if you blow it up. The problem is if you kill a bunch of humans, that's actually better for the Earth because we are the parasites. Like, we're the ones who are making things bad. Yeah. And you look at Chernobyl, you know, the plants, the animals, they're good. You know, they're coming back in droves. It's the people who are like, oh, gee, my fish is glowing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're glowing. No, I miss George Carlin so much because he was so right on this. The planet will be fine.
Yeah,
it's the people who are blanked. The planet will move on. The planet will be just fine. It's us that the planet could do without. And you know, sadly, so is nuclear warming now a thing we're gonna be seeing? Because I'm expecting. No. Well, you didn't let me get to the final question. I'm expecting
Sorry.
The right wing machine to now take this on and really make it a thing.
Well, the thing is that if they did that they would have to care about nuclear proliferation, and Republicans and conservatives don't tend to care about that. They like the idea of being a nuclear power and having this Cold War thing happening.
There it is. Sarah, as always, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. Hope people will take a look at the website, rawstory.com. You can check out Sarah's work. Sarah Burris, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Have an awesome weekend. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you as well. Quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1903. That was the day that 25 delegates from 17 cities gathered in Washington, D.C. to discuss forming a union for laborers. General laborers, who often perform some of the most backbreaking work on projects like digging canals and surfacing streets, were often blocked from joining craft unions as full members. The laborers in D.C. decided it was time to join together and formed the International Hod Carriers and Building Laborers Union. That was the beginning of the union that today is called the Laborers International Union of North America, or LIUNA. The union published its first constitution in English, German, and Italian, reflecting the diversity of the members that they represented. At the convention, the delegates issued a declaration of principles. In it, they declared, quote, "We hold that all men are created free and equal, and that honor and merit makes the man, and that self-preservation is the first law of nature, and that he who would be free must strike the first blow." They then went on to describe their purpose, writing, quote, "First, to gather under one grand banner all of those who toil on buildings with our craft and calling. Second, to promote by all honorable means the social and financial standing of all those who wish to partake in the fruits of amalgamation. Third, to create general agitation for the purpose of making a universal 8-hour day to increase the wages of members of the craft. Fourth, to establish a system of conciliation and arbitration in different sections of our land. Fifth, to help members of the craft in securing lawful and profitable employment. For more than a century, LIUNA has fought for the rights of laborers.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So WTA, WTF, the World Tennis Association, evidently they're going back to China. Going to go back to China. They've decided, according to their CEO and chairman, Steve Simon, evidently he did an interview with the Associated Press. He said that the stance that we took at the time was appropriate. We stand by that. But 16 months into this, we're convinced that our requests will not be met. And to continue with the same strategy does not make sense. So we need to look at a different approach with this. Our members believe it's time to resume the mission in China, where we believe we can contribute and continue to make a positive difference as we have for the last 20 years, while at the same time making sure that Peng is not forgotten. By returning, hopefully we can make progress. Now, Peng is the tennis player, Peng Shua, I guess her name is. You may remember, she kind of disappeared for a while. Nobody knew what happened to her. And then they trotted her out during the Olympics. Still don't know where she is, as far as I understand. So this is the World Tennis Association going, yeah, you know, we tried. Nah, it didn't work. Nah, we're going to move on. And this is one of those weird moments where you go, it's always the money. The money always wins out. Money greases a lot of palms, makes things so much easier. It's about the money. To steal from Rupert Murdoch, not red or blue, it's green. And this is another one of those things. It's green. They got to get back into China because there's a lot of advertising money there. There's a lot of state-sponsored money there. There's a lot of money there. And this is where this is going to go. Evidently, he had toured with the Chinese Tennis Association and had been assured that, you know, things are going to be okay. We won't have any issues with our athletes or our staff. Everything's going to be good. Don't worry about it as long as the money keeps flowing. And this is another one of those moments where you go, us looking past. Organizations looking past the abuses of the Chinese Communist government. Yeah, well, we don't know what happened to this woman. They trotted her out, but and nobody got to speak with her, if I remember right. But yeah, you know, got to keep the cash flow going. Got to keep the cash flow going. And I guess, is anyone surprised? Truthfully, I'm not. But it is kind of infuriating to see. Want to hear your thoughts on this? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com, if you got thoughts, questions.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News
app.
And Lionel Moore.